Today we're coming to you live from our studios in Kokomlemi. We're on DTT because we're free to on DSTV channel 421 and GoTV channel 125. We are a home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Coming up this afternoon, attempt by NDC MP to get the High Court to order President Akufo-Addo to receive anti-LGBTQ bill passed by Parliament hit a snag as Attorney General files a last-minute affidavit in opposition to the MP's application. We'll take you live to the High Court for update.
Attorney General, who had indicated at our last sitting that they were not going to file an affidavit in opposition, but they were going to come and argue on points of law, have now filed a formal affidavit in opposition and their statement of case.
Also, residents of KJT have staged massive demonstration over unreliable power supply after President Akufo-Addo commissioned the rebranded Ameri Power Plant in Ahomaso.
The challenges that the people of Ashanti and indeed of other parts of the country have had to endure in very recent times over the supply of power. And I can only thank you for the patience you have exhibited in the face of these challenges.
We'll hear from government, which says that with the coming on stream with the Kumasi One thermal plant, the situation will change. Now, Tema Traditional Council performed final rites to appease the souls of two persons killed last Friday during a procession of the Lejo Festival, describing their death as a bad omen. We have more from that community shortly. My name is Aisha Ibrahim. We're also live on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and X Spaces at my Joy News on TV. My personal handle is at Denana Aisha. Please do stay for details. 12 youth for Asante Man has staged a demonstration in Kumasi in demand for a load shedding timetable in the midst of recent unannounced power cuts. Clad in red, the protesters prevailed on the Electricity Company of Ghana and the Energy Ministry to ensure stable power supply. The protest was staged after President Akufo-Addo officially commissioned the Kumasi One Thermal Power Plant aimed at improving access to power. My colleague Nana Boachie-Adom joined the protest in Kumasi.
Clad in red and in loud chants, hundreds of people took to the principal streets of Kumasi to demand a load shedding timetable from the Energy Ministry and the Electricity Company of Ghana. Their major concern is that the current erratic or intermittent power cut is affecting their businesses. Some of them want the Energy Ministry and the ECG to immediately release a load shedding timetable.
All we are asking Nana Akufo-Addo is to give us power, that's all. Apart from that, there's nothing he can do for us. He should just give us power so we can go back onto our businesses and do whatever we want to do. That's all. So what we are telling Nana Akufo-Addo, the ECG, GredCo, and all the independent power producers, that is that we need power. We need power. Businesses are collapsing. We need power.
Leader of the group, Jerry Jimsuka, while addressing the protesters, says President Akufo-Addo has failed in the energy sector. He says the mismanagement of the sector has led to the current intermittent power cuts being experienced nationwide.
The mismanagement of electrical power has resulted in frequent and prolonged power outages, commonly referred to as doomsaw. These outages disrupt economic activities, leading to reduced productivity and increased operational costs for businesses.
And now, doomsaw no criteria first, no, because here first said those snaky idea who kwa ebe faswa ya debe ya juma. Umasi esi suwa na edum. Eduma na crash. A crash ya project awakwe nyina na asei. The thing the Indian say, "You better do light in this time." It will do what? We must see the human. We say, "You better do it. You better stop it." No. Say, say, we need. We need to say, "Why you so hard drive?" We do better crash it. It say, "You new man say." It say,
apologies for the breaking sound, but President Akufo-Addo has meanwhile for the first time acknowledged the country's power challenges, assuring that the Kumasi One thermal power plant will bring stability to electricity supply in the region when it is fully operationalized.
And it is my expectation that with enhanced electricity supply, these enterprises will expand and offer further employment opportunities to our youth. Ladies and gentlemen, in the course of the last 7 years, my government has had the opportunity to translate promises and assurances into result-orientated projects, especially as the Ghanaian people have in clear and absolute terms demanded results that will transform the country for all. One such commitment is the delivery of affordable and reliable electricity to drive our nation's industrialization agenda and position Ghana to become a net exporter of electricity in the ECOWAS region. Our national electrification rate of 88.8% is one of the highest on the continent, and the goal is to have full electricity access by the end of this year. In the areas of power generation, transmission and distribution, my government has made and continues to make significant investments towards the provision of reliable and competitively priced electricity to assure economic growth. This is part of our commitment to realizing the 2030 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I do acknowledge, Regional Minister, Minister for Energy, ladies and gentlemen, and Nananum, the challenges that the people of Ashanti and indeed of other parts of the country have had to endure in very recent times over the supply of power. And I can only thank you for the patience you have exhibited in the face of these challenges.
Well, later today, Joy News will host some of Ghana's finest brains from the energy sector to find a lasting solution to Ghana's power crisis. It follows weeks of intermittent power cuts, with many Ghanaians asking for a load-shedding timetable to plan their lives. Head of Joy News' energy desk, Samuel Kujibris, has been telling us what to expect at 6 p.m.
We're having this problem that we had some years ago. So how do we deal with it? How do we ensure that, you know, power supply, stable power supply is guaranteed for everybody? That's why we're putting all these brains together to brainstorm on the issue and say and come out with how to tackle the issue. Because we know we believe that there's a solution somewhere. That solution is what we're looking for. So we have the chairman for the Parliamentary Committee on Mines and Energy, Atacha. We also have the ranking on the same committee, John Jinapo, coming. We have Dr. Steve Mantea. You know that when it comes to the energy and extractive sector in Ghana, you don't talk about it without Steve Mantea. So he'll be coming. Another person who's so versed in the area is Kwame Jantwa, Esquire. He's also part of the people coming. We have people like the Dr. Petobo, who is the CEO for the Independent Power Generators Ghana, the Chamber of Independence. He's also coming. We also have a rep from ECG, represented by the pool, that's the Public Utility Workers Union. Michael Nyantichi will be here. So he is in the he's in the sector. He you know, shuttles between those who produce and those who supply. So he understands the issue, and all of the people we are bringing on board really understand what the issues are. We also have a former Deputy Minister of Energy to join us, as well as a former CEO of the VRA, who has even worked at GridCo before. So he understands generation and also, you know, how the grid works. So, I mean, we believe that these are the people to really dissect the issue about power and how, you know, we can deal with it.
Away from the energy situation, the Ghana Armed Forces say ending stereotyping and having more females in the force requires a holistic approach with the support of other stakeholders, including families. At a sensitization campaign in Sonyai by the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center on career opportunities within the Ghana Armed Forces, Colonel Dr. Mohammed Wombe, Command Logistics and Gender Advisor at the Army Training Command in Teshi, said steps have been taken, paving way for females in the forces to rise to the top, which will encourage more to join.
International Peacekeeping Training Center and the LC Initiative, in collaboration with the Ghana Armed Forces, have sensitized over 500 selected students from schools in the Bono region, including St. James, Odumasiman, and Host Sunyani Secondary School, on career opportunities and misconceptions about taking up a career in the forces. Adelaide Kiaotu, Senior Program Officer, Women, Youth, Peace and Security Institute at KIPTC, said the sensitization focused on implementing the United Nations Security Council Resolutions 1325 and 2250.
Specifically on issues of peacekeeping, we seek to promote the implementation of the agenda by ensuring that we have women forming part of peacekeeping operations. So that is why we are here working with the armed forces, encouraging young girls to join the armed forces, but to also join through the combat and combat support roles, because that gives them new opportunities and actually greater opportunities in building a career within the armed forces. That will ensure that we can get these young girls, when they join the military, to go through the ranks and attain leadership positions.
CPO1 Lydia Yaeninfo, sharing her experiences in the Navy, said disciplinary standards motivated her to join. She charged the students to embrace the opportunities in the forces that also enhance family life. Colonel Dr. Mohammed Wombie, Command Logistics and Gender Advisor at the Army Training Command in Teshin, Accra, said all hands should be on deck to end stereotyping women who desire to join the forces.
Probably when we finish with the second cycle institutions, we will begin to go to the general public, even reaching out to families, because we reckon that our traditional value system and our traditional customs creates fertile ground for some of these stereotypes. But with education, like what we have done, it is possible that we can overcome. The military itself as an institution has its own values, customs and tradition, which we are making conscious efforts to overcome, to make way for the female to participate in decision making.
Here are some of the students.
With this meeting we had, I've gotten a lot of courage. At first I heard you can't get married when you go into the military service. But now I know you can get married. You can engage in family activities.
Precious Semevo, Joy News, Sunyai.
Ghana Civil Service has been tasked to assist the government in formulation and implementation of government policies for the development of the country. Many have had cause to lament over the lackadaisical attitude of some civil servants and how this is affecting the service and in turn retrogressing the country's development. Head of Civil Service, Dr. Evans Agredako, says his office is working around the clock to ensure a reversal of this trend. He spoke earlier on News Desk.
Well, it's true that maybe some may not have the same attitude. Attitude is everything. What we are doing is to build on what is it that we have met. How do we reconfigure the public bureaucracy to make it as vibrant as possible? So the human resource is important. The attitude is important. The profile, what is it? So recruitment is important. Caliber of people who enter the service, what is their background? How capable are they? Those who are already in, do you have a continuous learning framework? So we're putting in place a continuous learning framework that will continue to enhance the capacity of these individuals to be able to deliver. For instance, we are encouraging our institutions to want to institute some incentive packages, with, you know, measures within the institutions, what I call institution-specific measures, to look at how we can incentivize our people to peak performance. Because as you are aware, if you pretend to be paying some people, then they'll be pretending to be working, for instance. So we are looking at that and what it is that we ought to do to improve upon people's morale. If morale is low, you can't expect that they will deliver. So we are dealing with morale issues. We are providing a lot more logistics, because when you deploy functions, invariably you ought to deploy the corresponding resources for people to deliver. Because I've argued that enthusiasm alone doesn't grow food. You need to have the wherewithal. So these are areas that we are looking at. We are even reconfiguring the Civil Service Act itself, which act was enacted in 1993, and thus far we are literally being overtaken by events. But the whole local government system is even sitting in our act currently. We need to reconfigure. We need to really institutionalize our performance management systems. And we are taking seriously the issue of performance management and performance appraisals. And I can tell you that we have gone digital on some of these matters, like the electronic staff performance appraisal, which appraisal system has two major objectives. How do you peak performance? So it's a performance enhancing mechanism, and also provides us a scientific basis to want to see who can progress to the next grade among others. So it's not an open sesame, it's not a wholesale, but at least there might be scientific basis of that. And thus far, compliance levels are hitting about 93%.
Okay.
The highest that we've had in terms of people completing. Mm. We don't have a situation where people will just fail the appraisal when they just want to go for promotion and so on. It's unscientific.
The Movement for Change, the National Interest Movement, and other pressure and political groups on Wednesday formed an alliance for revolutionary change in the bid to break the NDC-MPP duopoly. The alliance seeks to bring renewed hope to many Ghanaians that had almost given up on having any credible alternative with candidates of substance in the 2024 elections. How are Ghanaians receiving this, and is this really the third force that Ghanaians have been yearning for? Senior political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwame Asante, says the two major political parties, the NDC and the NPP, must feel threatened by this alliance.
If you look at the personalities, and remember that in election, personality comes a lot. In 2016, we did some work about soliciting opinion from Ghanaians as to what will form their decision when they are looking for a president for this country. And one of their considerations was the fact that, one, they need policies and programs, all right? If you look at the policies and programs that this group has, there's no doubt in my mind that it's very, very interesting, and it attracted a lot of people against the backdrop that the people, the leaders, some of them are towering personalities. You cannot, close your eyes on that about the personalities of Alan Chemateng, Abu Sakara, and the rest of them. And this is something that we glean from our 2016 election analysis that we did. But apart from the track record, one other thing is also the presidential candidate itself. All these things put together, in addition to your ability to command resources, both human and material, to run your campaign throughout the new cranny of this country, your ability to be able to also have strategies that will be able to pull you the votes that you need. And of course, the messages which are born out of your manifesto, which is nothing but the problems and solutions of this country, which you have tailored them along national levels, regional level, and constituency level. Your ability to be able to put all this mix together and make sense will always give you the results that you want. But if these people are able to do this, in addition to other groups whose contribution will obviously come and support the smaller entities such as the one we are talking about, then obviously it calls for worry for the stronger, the dominant parties, because what you don't want as a dominant party is for the election to be pushed to a second round. And that one, it creates all manner of problems for you, especially incumbent party, which is in government. And that one, it opens the floodgate for all manner of things to happen to that party.
The Tema Traditional Council has today performed final rites to appease the souls of two persons who were killed last Friday during a procession of the Gbelejo Festival. Priests and priestesses clad in red and white are visiting 22 clan houses to perform rites to cleanse the land. The death of the two during the festival is seen as a bad omen. One of the youth leaders at the Tema Traditional Council, Henry Oninku, shares the need to perform this rite as police investigate the matter.
Meeting the Henry Okuninkumiye, spokesperson for Tema Traditional Council, and a youth spokesperson for the Tema Traditional Council. I'm saying, as a minute, I said, yeah, I'm a person, yes, and I am. We have actually asked the Ghana Police Service to investigate the matter. And a minute, I say, I'm a Bakuzu on my saying, yeah, now, yeah, you poor more fashion, Yamamu crap, a pepper be pubbing that internet and pay any.
It's a movie city clan houses. Clan houses, they say,
okay, Batema Hanuma, you were 22 clan houses. It's a minute, I say, you're your issue, you're about Ajaprovi. Yeah, before all the clan houses, I mean, it's just basically like I said, we are exercising our grievances. No.
Who's the
Ghana Police Service for the UG? Yeah, and first, you to not far the law into their own hands. Already know the Ghana Armed Forces, they have issued a communique, said, yeah, Bambi Shiai. But they have when they say the accumulated grievances of the youth will be into Miniano. The MPSA police are advising, yeah, we are law abiding citizens. It's young, we are invoking our deities because a fashion I did in the Omudia. And so someone better near you because of the fashion. And then someone has a.
That was Henry Oninku explaining what the rites was about, and he says that they believe the police will do a good job. Let's go to the court now, because the attempt by NDC MP for South Dai and co-sponsor of the anti-LGBTQ bill, Roxanne Nelson Dafiamekwa, to get an Accra High Court to order President Akufo-Addo to receive the bill and signify whether he will sign or not has hit a snag. The MP is seeking an order of mandamus directed at the President and got the court to expeditiously hear the matter. Today in court, the Attorney General was expected to address the court on points of law, but only yesterday the AG's office filed an affidavit in opposition, which would delay the case a bit further. Member of our legal affairs desk, Kwa Sante, was in court. He joins me with more on this one. Kwiku, take us through the proceedings in court today.
Today we expected the Attorney General himself or his representatives to come to court and explain why the court should not make an order directed at President Akufo-Addo to receive the anti-LGBTQ bill and act on it. But the Attorney General has elected to file a last-minute process which is going to delay the case a bit further. At the last time the court sat, the Attorney General and his representative did not give any indication as to whether or not they were opposed to this application. In fact, the only thing they said was that they were going to offer some legal expositions that will guide the judge in making a determination on this matter. But today, when the case was called in court today, The senior state attorney who represented Godfred Damiye Boah in court today said that the AG has now filed that affidavit in opposition and a statement of claim, which has been served on the member of parliament and his lawyers in court this morning. And the lawyers say they will also, as it were, look at the processes that have been filed and make some responses. So Aisha, the case has now been adjourned to the 29th, where both parties would have all filed their processes by then. The court will then listen to them if they want to hear from them orally. And then, if the court elects to do so, can offer judgment the very day or adjourn for judgment.
Is the lawyer of the MP happy with the way the case is going?
Well, I've been putting some questions to Nipakwo Samuado on what exactly the pace that the case is going. Mind you, this is a case they filed an order for expedited hearing to get the court to expeditiously hear the matter, and it's now slugging with a lot of adjournments every now and then. But Nipakwo Samuado seemed to be satisfied with the way things are going. His lawyer for Ross and Nelson interfered, and he says, so far, so good.
A fresh matter, and we were to go by the normal court processes, we would actually not be in line to be heard by now. But as the court has been very gracious, because of the application for expedited hearing, as you can see, all of us are trying to file our processes on time. The only thing that was of a bit of a surprise today was the fact that the Attorney General, who had indicated at our last sitting that they were not going to file an affidavit in opposition, but they were going to come and argue on points of law, have now filed a formal affidavit in opposition and their statement of case. So we would have to take a look at it. We looked at it in the court. We were served in the court. So we had a look at it, and we believe that there are a few points that we want to deal with. And so we would file a response to it, which the court has graciously given us. And so barring, I don't think that there will be any reason why on the 29th we cannot move. We've already moved the motion, so then the court will take the motion. The court may decide to give a ruling on that day, depending on where the fact that we had all filed our processes. Or if the AG or anybody wants to make a supplementary point, they'll make the point. But as it is now, clearly we are on course. I believe that the motion is moving well.
Clearly, the anti-LGBTQ is being held in the balance. Your clients and the NDC MPs have made a strong case for why this must be expeditiously dealt with. The bill was passed somewhere in late February, early March. It's almost the end of April. There don't seem to be any decision on this. So some would say that whilst you want this expeditiously heard and decided on, there's really nothing going on.
Oh, clearly there's a lot going on. We brought to the attention of the court the letter from the speaker. We brought to the attention of the court the letter from the speaker of Parliament. And so that was an important point, because Parliament has responded to the letter from the Office of the President. And in our opinion, that even strengthens our point that without the intervention of the court, nothing would go on. So allow the court process to proceed. You have to get every... You see, a decision cannot be made when all the facts are not before the court. And so it would be unfair for us to let the court proceed when there are matters that are still outstanding that must be brought to the attention of the court. The AG has filed his processes. We filed our processes. We've sought leave to respond to processes filed by the AG. So on the 29th, there should be no reason why the court will not go ahead, either to give us a date for the decision or maybe to give us some further directions.
And in today's filth exhibition series, we'll take you to Nigerian Quarters, a suburb of Achimota in the Okanikwe North Municipality, where residents struggle with stains from an over 30-year-old dump site sitting in the middle of the community. The residents say the situation is taking a toll on their health. My colleague Prince Kwame Kuduga has more.
Welcome to the Nigerian Quarters, a vibrant suburb nestled on the outskirts of Achimota, Okaikwe North Municipality of the Greater Accra Region. But beneath its colorful facade lies a stinky secret that has been plaguing its residents for over three decades. Residents continue to grapple with the consequences of a three-decade-old dumping ground right in their midst. Now it appears the residents have become specialists of stench, experts in the art of navigating through mountains of rubbish just to survive their daily lives.
In fact, my brother, like what I'm saying, when the sound like this, you can't get it, they smell a little too much. Like the evening, you will see, you yourself, you will see what is going on. All rain fall, When you fall the big, you know, fall big self, you hear it. Hearing all the smell. And then the smell too, the, you know, the smell where you feel brief. When I live here, where I'm going. And then most of us will not get money to go and rent room different place.
So actually, I learned that this baller have been here long time. It's not today. I can even say that, assume it was around Nkrumah time, because it's not now. But only that the problem we are facing is that the smelling of the baller, and then also we can create sickness, and we have families too.
But why is a dumping site sitting in the middle of a community? An elder of the community, Bawa Atuche, explains how the dumping site became a perpetual member of the community.
Where the baller it is, there is a this building washing room. So the washing room can be rejecting one. They know they use it again. Where they come back like bush. So when they starting, put a baller, that time they were annoying. Say if you are, when they joke, that will be a baller. And truth, it will be a baller. In fact, when somebody was talking, you annoy the person, and they hear it. See where we are. Here we with the chop. See that listen, the boy we were sitting. The woman here where you can chop. See the distance too. When we are eating, smell it. Everything. And there is somebody when they come to put a baller, if you say go top, carry top and put the baller. If you didn't joke, they will insult you. You see? So we are suffering with this baller.
According to the residents, an effort by the Member of Parliament to clear the piece of land off the mountain of waste was not successful. They now want city authorities to, as a matter of urgency, come to their aid and improve the sanitation in the area.
Me buy no baller no. So they are eating no. So I na eating. Isuo toa yantimin jina hakura abon kan. Ya kura na esa shopping ko force ma obon fi baller nguha. Na omo gaye sell baller no gusu da ho. Ya hu bia perform boye. Gana present ya pa choma no on boye. Na ya bre. Ya yin na ya rekiu sisi ana oni sika obako hospital. Enye wu na obawu. Nti sisi ya dan na so pa chopa se on boye. Na on ba yi sa bola na mai. Omo forget the politics. Na yin na ya gane ya fo. Omo boye na omo yi bola na mai. Na kwala no omo yin ba no. Ya re bia nka obia. Mi gira mi sika na ya reki me ba. Ai fa na mako. Mi nya sika nko fye no. Nti no si ha ya na eso wo. Na bola da ho.
So as I can hear, he keep where this baller 2 days here, no be today. So what now we want say this baller go come out for here? Where our MP to come? Where he won't come out this baller? Give us so they so say we all be free. Where the time where our MP they bring the cars where they can come out this baller? We hear say. The caterpillar way they come now. The caterpillar no go come again. Then can remove the baller givers. And now what we beg? We beg you people make our penny for our elders here. Said make them come remove the baller givers. Right now, no, that be what we want now. Say the baller go come off for here. Because the sickness too will be too much. That was I think 3 days ago. One of our friend was of it. What I say? Of it, I think it's the same sickness now. You get. So we can't wait till we die before they go come remove the baller giver.
And so, as the sun sets on another day in Nigerian quarters here in Achimota, the resident cling to hope, like a life raft in a sea of despair, praying that someday soon their pleas will be heard and their plight acknowledged. Prince Kwame Kudigas report read to you.
What's alive on Joy News today? We're coming to you from our studios in Kokom, namely, and we're on DTT because we're free to air. Let's take a break. When we return, we'll bring you the very latest coming from the world of business.
Across Africa, a new era has begun. Shifting our focus to a new horizon, connecting us with one purpose: to create and share opportunities to grow. Today, we are making a brighter tomorrow, built by our dreams and our energy. Across our continent, across the world, we are creating a better way to a better future. A Pan-African future, together. Ecobank, a better way, a better Africa.
Daddy, this tank is big!
Yes, that's true.
It can store a lot of water.
That's so true.
Wow, it has a walking tortoise on it.
Mm-hmm, that's so true.
I can see S-I-N-T-E-X, syntax.
That is so true, my daughter.
When it falls down, it will spoil.
That's not true.
But why?
Hey! Syntex was the first to introduce double-layer tanks in Ghana. Syntex again was the first to introduce white inner layers in Ghana. Syntex gives you the biggest warranty, 7 years. No matter your water needs, Syntex is the answer. Syntex tank. Are you strong? Are you tough?
Hi, welcome to Business. My name is Daryl Kwal. The University of Development Studies is seeking to collaborate with the International Labour Organization's productivity ecosystems for decent work project to establish a Share Entrepreneurship Resource Centre. The centre will focus on understanding labour dynamics, productivity enhancement and sustainable practices within the Share value chain. Here's more.
Despite its potential to enhance Ghana's non-traditional export earnings, and to diversify the sources of the much-needed foreign exchange earnings, Ghana's share industry remains underdeveloped. Shea butter exports were valued at over $92 million in 2022. The Future Market Insight in 2023 valued the global shea butter market at $2.75 billion. The figure is projected to reach $5.58 billion by 2033.
We are going to initiate a project that will involve coming to you once again to collect vital information so that together we can prepare what may be called Northern Shea Enterprise Directory.
Speaking at a result sharing and certification of beneficiary SMEs at Tamale in the Northern Region, a project office of the Trade for Decent Work Project, Samuel Isidro Onoma, noted that apart from the training beneficiary, SMEs have been supported with basic equipment.
The ILO has been supporting these enterprises with some equipment to enhance their productivity. You know, this sector dwells a lot on simple equipment, but as though, even though they are simple equipment, they help improve productivity. We have the millers, we have the crushers, we have the kneaders.
The founder of the Agape Shea Butter Cooperative, Esther Namburi, said the training has helped reduce operational costs.
My journey with ILO is that they train us. They train us on how to organize our processing centers and also how to treat our workers well, safety and health. They also train us on 5X. Even me, I always say that if I had gone through this training before starting my business, because when you look at the way we structured our facility, like the buildings.
The International Labour Productivity Ecosystems for Decent Work is a multi-country program initiated by the ILO in 2021 with operations in Ghana, South Africa, and Vietnam. It is funded by the government of Switzerland and Norway and seeks to promote productivity growth for decent work.
Now, as Ghana's cocoa sector is diminishing at a faster rate, the citrus and juice industry is likely to be the next game changer, as it currently stands to rake in over $300 million annually through exports. This could be the driver for economic transformation if there are numerous opportunities within the sector are given the needed credit support. Yes, more in this report.
The fruit and vegetable sector is one of the biggest and diverse economic sectors in the world and occupies more land than coffee, cocoa, sugar, and soy. The fruit and vegetable sector can help agricultural industries in developing nations to stimulate economic growth and reduce poverty. Experts from the industry say Ghana stands to rake in over $300 million per annum from the processing of these local fruit for export if the citrus and passion fruit industry are merged together. They urge the country to lead in the emerging fruit and juices industries with potentials like coconut water and coconut milk to aid the country earn over $1.5 billion annually and also creating the sustainable jobs of over 800,000 in the value chain. These earnings could improve on the country's balance of payment, strengthen its reserves, as well as stabilize the currency. It's becoming clear that Ghana harnessing its natural exotic agricultural resources will create huge transformation for the economy. Currently, products like ekumfi juices, which are made from Ghana's own natural pineapples, ginger, oranges, and other fruit, are creating huge sustainable income for local farmers and also serving as a new breath hope.